Welcome to Inside Pop, where the podcast that discusses the pop culture we care about and you need to know about.
We show up in your feed every week, but in between listens, make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Pop Insiders.
And head over to our website, insidepoppodcast.com, to read our show notes, subscribe to the podcast, and listen to old episodes.
And if you enjoy what you hear, we would love it if you would just quickly go on over to iTunes, give us a rating, a quick review, if you will. That actually helps us reach out and be found by more people, and so that would be greatly appreciated. And right now, we want to start our show. This week, we have a big one coming up. We are continuing our month-long series celebrating Women's History Month with a special interview with the host of Poised and Polished, Esta Fiesta.
Esta gives us her top three fashionable female TV characters of all time, and we also discuss why being a fashionista can be a feminist act.
Then we are back to our March Madness bracket as we head into the finals. Which handsome, talented, celebrity hunk will Amita choose as her ultimate husband? You'll have to keep listening to find out.
All that and the big sell right now on Inside Pop. Welcome to Inside Pop. I am Amita Patel.
And I'm Sean David Johnson.
First up is our interview with Esta Fiesta, the host of the Poised and Polished podcast.
We met Esta last year at the Podcast Movement Convention in Chicago, Illinois, and we immediately bonded with her, and we've been looking forward for months now to have her on our show, and we finally did it, and we're happy to bring you that discussion.
We discussed feminism, fashion, and her top three favorite stylish female characters on TV. We are so excited to bring on our podcast buddy, Esta Fiesta of the Poised and Polished podcast, to join us for this very special and final Women's History Month conversation. Welcome, Esta.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here.
We're so excited to have you. We're big fans of you and your podcast.
That touches me because obviously I feel the same. So like, I'm so glad that I get to meet you guys.
Well, do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about your podcast?
My podcast is called Poised and Polished, and it's fashion and beauty focused. So I have solo episodes where it is just me talking about whatever fashion topic there is of the week. And I also do interviews where I interview people who have independent brands that you most likely have not heard of. And I talk to them about their area of expertise as well as just their company itself so that my listeners can get to know about this new brand, whether it's accessories or makeup or whatnot. And that's it. And actually, fun fact, I was the first fashion-focused podcast. I know because I looked into it before I launched my podcast. And now a lot of the major brands are starting to come up with their own fashion or beauty focus. So just know I was here first, but I mean, still support other people, but I just would like everyone to know that I do.
I love it. Pioneer.
Yes.
The first and the greatest. Yes. So if you care about fashion or being fashionable or stylish or looking good or feeling good, it's definitely the podcast to listen to.
Thank you.
Yeah. There's some really great content on there. I was listening. Also, you had a really wonderful interview with the Hughes Box founder, and I thought it was awesome because I love subscription boxes, but I have the same issues with it that you guys do sometimes. So yeah, it was a really great conversation. So definitely listen to Poised and Polish, guys.
So we have invited Esta Fiesta on to share with us her top three fashionable women on television. And Esta, you might know this about listening to our podcast. Sometimes I like to just throw questions out at Amita, so I'd like to do this to both of you right now. But before we get into your list, I am curious to hear what you think about, since this is Women's History Month, like being a feminist or caring about women's rights, but then also caring about fashion. And I think some people might think, oh, those two things are mutually exclusive. So can you just share with us a little bit about kind of what your feeling is about being someone who cares about women's rights, but then also cares and thinks that it's important to care and be informed about fashion?
Yeah, this is actually like a topic that's one of my passions, just because, like you said, a lot of people think that those two are mutually exclusive, and they're definitely not, particularly because we're still in an age where women are harshly judged by their appearance. So we haven't made it yet to where you can just be smart and no one cares. You know, like Bernie, look at Bernie Sanders and how many supporters he had. And yet the man never combed his hair. He didn't, you know, didn't tailor his suits. But like a woman could never present herself that way. Hillary Clinton, you know, wore a scrunchie on an airplane one time, and we will never let her live it down. So while we're still in this, you know, age, I still think it's very important that, you know, women or people in general, but, you know, women are still conscious of how you're, you know, how you present yourself and how that affects how seriously people take you. If you can chew gum and walk, you can care about shallow things and important things at the same time. Like, so I just don't understand how, you know, because I like wearing makeup or because, you know, I like expensive shoes or care about having more than one pair of shoes, how that means that I'm not also thinking about reproductive rights or, you know, trans women's rights or anything like that. So, I don't like that people conflate the two as two different independent topics. And I think that it's very possible for people to care about both, and it's important for people to care about both. So,
amen. Well said.
Thank you.
I love that. I love that. I feel better now about obsessing over the next watch I'm going to buy. So,
you're welcome.
Thank you. All right. Well, I'm so excited. Totally full disclosure, we don't know
not at
Esta's
all
choices. So I'm really excited to hear. Should we start with number three to make it dramatic? And
okay, yes.
Down.
So this was a hard choice. I just want everyone to know. So if your fave didn't make my list, please don't be mad. But so my number three most fashionable TV characters is Lisa Turtle, played by Lark Voorhees. This is from Saved by the Bell from the early 90s.
Yes.
Yeah, so and if your listeners are not very familiar, Saved by the Bell was a teen TV show from the early 90s, and Lisa Turtle was the black female character who was a rich spoiled brat. And part of being a rich spoiled brat was being super fashionable. And the reason why I pick her is I think she was super trendy. And she, like, every single day she was serving a look. She didn't have off days, you know, that wasn't a thing. Even in gym, like, she was just fly girl there. And you could tell, like, she put a lot of thought into her outfit. And I know that's characteristic of teenage girls, that, like, you know, everything is, like, carefully curated and thought about. But also what I thought was important in the show is we kind of watched her style progress as they got older. You know, when they were, like, I think freshmen, it was very like, I'm matching my scrunchie to my sweater and I'm mixing prints and I'm experimenting. And it was super cool and trendy. But as they got older, her style got a lot more sophisticated. So she kept her style and just kind of like grew up with it. So that's why she's on my list. She's my number three.
I love that choice.
Thanks.
I love that choice too. I would not never have imagined that. But as you're describing it, I love that. Yeah, she never had a day off. Where some of those guys, oh God, what's his name?
Slater.
AZ Slater. Sometimes it was just sweats for him. Who needs that?
He was the athletic one. That's what he did.
So do you think when you look at her outfits today, I mean, there is definitely a dated factor, but you can kind of see beyond the datedness and still see the fashion of the time.
Yeah, definitely. Particularly, like I said, when she's a little older, when they're like seniors in high school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those shoulder pads were on point.
Yes.
And then slight tangent, but do you foresee a time in the next, I don't know, 10 years when 90s fashion will come back into style in some way?
I mean, it kind of already has, you know, in a lot of ways. Like, a lot of people are incorporating, I saw a cross colors jacket that people were trying to make that happen again. The whole neon thing was cool for a while. And even when I saw Straight Outta Compton, which came out, what was that, 2 years ago now? There was a scene when I think they were at a roller skating rink, but a lot of those clothes looked like I could have seen them like, is this 1992 or is this like outside a club in the meatpacking, you know?
Interesting. Yeah. Will you send me a text when it's okay for me to start wearing a cowrie shell necklace again?
I definitely will.
Thank you. I'm You're serious. I really want to do that.
He's really, really into Again. His Carrie Schell necklace. It's been mentioned a few times already in the podcast.
I'm obsessed. Okay, that was awesome. What's your second favorite fashionable TV character?
Okay, so my second favorite is she's a super popular one. I think everyone agrees that she should be on this list. It's Carrie Bradshaw from Sex and the City, as played by Sarah Jessica Parker. And my reason for picking her, obviously, you know, we all know that she's a style or that character is a style icon. But what I think made her important was how unafraid she was to have fun with fashion. Mm-hmm. And if you watch the show, like I mentioned, Lisa's age, Carrie was at least 35 when the show started. So she was always in her, you know, older 30s or 40s. And yet she was never afraid to like wear a tutu, you know,
yeah.
or a statement tee. And when we talk about fashion, a lot of times we talk about age appropriateness, and that rule did not apply to her. Everything was appropriate. And I also liked that her style was very eclectic. Like I would only describe her style as feminine. That's the only label I would put on it. But I would never say that she had a signature look because, you know, sometimes she had a nameplate and other times she was dressed in Dior. And, you know, sometimes she was like when she went to go meet Big before he moved to France, you know, and she's like dressed up like a French maid. Like she went all over the place. And the only continuous theme that I saw was femininity. So I consider her an icon for that reason, for the fact that she had so much fun and was very versatile. And I'd call her character the queen of experimentation.
Ooh, I love that.
I love that too. I love that. And then there's probably like a whole other category for her shoes, though, right?
That alone.
I mean.
Now, both of you, feel free to disagree with me. Please do, but do it gently. I always, like with her character, which I love Sex and the City. I think most women and gay men love Sex and the City. But I always thought of her as dressing for herself and for other women and not so much dressing for men. But what do you think about that?
No, I agree with you a lot on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I feel like she was just enjoying fashion and experimenting, but it wasn't like for a man's pleasure. And yeah, but I thought like women and gay men appreciated her experimentation, her being the queen of experimentation.
Yeah, I think the only time I recall her dressing for a man was the sex dress.
Oh, which one? Which episode?
I don't know which episode, but it was early in the show. It was the night that she was supposed to, you know, get it on with Big. So she wore that dress, or I think she got the dress from a shoot, and then she wore it for the date.
Oh, I vaguely remember this. Yes.
I'm going to have to Google image that. Maybe we'll Google image it and put it in our show notes.
Yeah.
I'm having memories of that popping in my head now.
Yeah, it was kind of like a slip dress, but I think that's the only time I recall her dressing for a man. Every other time, like you said, it was for fashion, for her, and for other women.
Yeah. And I think that's so like in tune to like, it was part of her character that everybody describes. Like the fashion was part of her character, and it became, you know, that piece of confidence that I think that I know I, as a woman, like I saw that confidence that she had because she was comfortable in her own skin and what she was wearing because it was feminine and it was experimental, but it was true to her character. And I think that encompassed Carrie, you know, and I think that that gave so many women another layer to kind of strive for. Like, okay, well, if I just like what I'm wearing, it doesn't matter what I'm wearing as long as I like it and I'm comfortable in it.
Yeah.
And I will feel confident and I can go hop over puddles and, you know, like do all that. You know what I'm saying?
Like, talk about women's rights and interest in fashion. Like, you know, you bringing that up, that's kind of what she was doing. Like, it's, you know, very feminist in that I do things for me, but I also like clothes. And I'm using this by dressing for myself.
Right.
Yeah. What an amazing, if you were hired to be the wardrobe stylist on that show, what an amazing job that would be.
I know.
Yeah.
High pressure job.
Because Sarah Jessica Parker is, like, who knows more about, what actress knows more about fashion than her? I mean, whenever there's that Met Gala in May, she's always there. She's
always.
Years and years in a row, she's always there, always doing something interesting. Not always succeeding, I think, but always interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Numero uno, Esta Fiesta, your number one favorite fashionable television character.
Okay, so my number one is one that I think is often overlooked. I don't think many people conflate her with fashion. So it's Denise Huxtable, played by Lisa Bonet on The Cosby Show.
If you only saw us, I'll just react.
Why do I feel like crying right now? I
I
love this choice.
love this
Please,
choice.
please talk to us about it.
Thank you. Okay, so Denise, she had the range. Like, we talk about, I mentioned Lisa Turtle taking us from like freshman year to senior year. Denise was a high schooler, then a college student, then a stepmom, and she was fly the entire time. And again, like Carrie, I would say that she had a vibe, but like Carrie, she wasn't afraid of experimentation. Like, I think in her teen years, she was very trendy, and she was mixing like harem pants with sweatshirts, and she was the queen of mixing prints. I'm not sure how much of a thing that was before Denise Huxtable, but she was mixing prints all day long. And then, when she by the time she got to college, she was like the boho chic queen. Like, I feel like everything you see at Urban Outfitters today may have been inspired by Denise during her A Different World years.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah. And she did it so well. Like, everything made sense, and she everything was again, it was a look. So like, her hair worked with it. So when she's going through her boho chic phase, that's when her hair was all it was locked up. When she was doing the more trendy stuff, she wore her naturally curly hair and like, manipulated and styled it different ways. And then, once she became a stepmom, her style grew up again. So she was no longer like super boho chic. She was more sophisticated, but she was still very together. I think she started straightening her hair by that time, but she was serving us more mature looks. It wasn't, as many crop tops and funky. It wasn't funky, but it was still stylish. And I think she's very understated, and I don't think we give Denise Huxtable enough credit for the fashion that she gave us on that show.
That's a
I
great
agree with
choice.
you.
I
I
totally
agree with
agree.
you. Yeah. I mean, talk about wardrobe kind of telling you a lot about the character. I mean, her wardrobe, like, immediately, you're like, she's the creative, alternative one of those Huxtable kids. And yeah, I always wanted to be more of a Denise, but I think I was closer to being a Vanessa,
I was just going to
sadly.
say that. Surprising you didn't say you thought you were a Theo, though, Sean.
I think I'm more Vanessa than Theo, sadly.
I felt like I bridged the gap between Rudy and Vanessa because I was younger when I was growing up watching that show, so I thought I maybe related with Rudy a little bit more, being the younger one. But style-wise, I always admired Denise's style, but never thought I could pull it off the way she did. And I wanted to, but I just couldn't think that far outside of the box. That's where I fell in the Vanessa range.
What about you, Esther? Did you ever try to, or did you emulate her style in any way when you were growing up?
I kind of had like tried to do the mixing prints thing before it became cool again. I didn't quite, or I wasn't happy with what I did, what I put together. Like, it wasn't quite on Denise's level. So I was like, you know what? Maybe this is just for Denise, and you should leave it alone. But I definitely loved her, and like, she got me, or watching her inspired me to like look into tribal prints. And in the summer, a lot of times you'll find me looking into a tribal, and I've gotten back into mixing prints more and whatnot. But I would definitely call her like a style inspiration for my younger self and my current self.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah, I love it
Right. Like
too.
that timelessness.
We have to go shopping. You need to show me how to mix prints. I'm terrible.
Okay, I'm with it.
Oh my gosh, I love that choice so much. And yeah, I was just gonna say, like, the timelessness of that, where you can look at her wardrobe from the 80s, 30 years ago, and it still feels kind of fresh and not kind of kitschy nostalgic, but interesting and worth emulation even today. So that's pretty cool. Okay, I've got to say it, because if you weren't here with us, Esta, and Amito and I were trying to do this on our own, I'm pretty sure one of us would have gone for the obvious choice of Olivia Pope.
I
So
knew
thank you for not
it.
doing
Thank you
that,
for not doing
but
that.
talk to us about why you didn't do that.
Yeah.
The main reason I stayed away from her was because I knew that, it was a popular, like everyone knew, Carrie and Olivia Pope are two of the most popular ones. And like I said, I wanted to pay some homage to like forgotten style heroes like Lisa and Denise especially. But I do think that Olivia Pope is super stylish, and one thing I do appreciate about her is the coats. One thing she's very well known for is her stylish coats.
I love a good coat.
Yeah, and I think coats are very understated when we talk about style, even though they're very important, because if you live in the Northeast, and I would assume the Northwest has a similar weather thing going on, but we spend 4 months out of the year in a coat. And in those 4 months, more people see you in your coat than whatever you've got on underneath. Like, so the fact that you would waste your time or, you know, take the time to put together a nice outfit and just throw any coat on, like what was the purpose? So I appreciate her for like always doing that. However, I do think Olivia, you know, compared to the other people that I mentioned, she doesn't have a lot of range in her style. It's great, but it's very corporate. Like even when she's off the clock, she looks like she has an important job, you know? So she didn't have the same range that, you know, Carrie and Lisa and Denise do, where they dress appropriately or differently for different occasions and show us that they can do different. Like what would Olivia wear if, you know, if she came to like, what's that party that they throw in New York where it's like Southern music, Grits and Biscuits? Like, would she have an outfit for that?
Right.
Because Lisa, Carrie, and Denise would all have an outfit, but I don't know what Olivia would wear.
That's you know? A good test.
Yeah, like, have we ever seen Olivia wear jeans? I'm thinking.
I think when they fantasize about Vermont, she wear, you know, like, in a fantasy sequence, you might see her in jeans, maybe.
Maybe. That's something that's odd, though, because I can't think of anything. And if it's just that one Vermont fantasy sequence, you know, it definitely just makes your point as to, like, she comes off very corporate. That's a really great observation. I got to say, especially, I'm glad you didn't put her on, because this season they're obviously trying to cover her pregnancy because they shot these while she was pregnant. And it's just, like, capelet after capelet after capelet. Like, it's all just, you know, like, drapey, long shawls.
Yeah, that gets hard with fashion, like covering a pregnancy. That's a milestone we haven't overcome yet in the fashion world, or you know, letting people still be fashionable so while they're pregnant. So yeah. I don't know. We'll see what the future holds.
And speaking of coats, on your blog, which you definitely have to promote during this interview, there's a coat that you wear. I think there's a picture of you in this coat on your blog, which is the bomb. It's this awesome coat.
Oh, thanks. It's so the blog that I have, the blog is independent from the podcast. So it's livingfiesta.com. But I think the coat you're referencing is it's a Reese coat. So it's a short coat. It's more for like weather like now, when it's like it's supposed to be spring, but it kind of feels like winter, but not all the way. So I love it for that reason, because it's super, you know, it's good for this type of weather, and I can just leave it open if I need to. And I like that it's got discreet buttons. I love hidden buttons. I don't know why.
I love hidden buttons.
So great. Yeah. And then the wraparound. I live for a cinched waist. And, you know, I think a cinched waist is one of the easiest ways to make yourself look stylish. So if you can belt it, and pull the look together. So that's the coat you're talking about, right?
Yeah, that's definitely the coat I'm talking about. And you just told me more about it than I would have ever suspected. So thank you.
I'm looking at it right now. I love it.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to have to go get this coat now.
Show notes. Put it in the show notes.
Show notes. Yeah, seriously, the coat analogy you made is so true. Like, I have so many coats, because you need one for every type of, like, every 10 degree like span of weather, you need a separate coat. I need a separate coat for the 40s and for like anything below 30s. And then I need a separate coat for the 50s and the 60s. And then usually when it's like past 75, I don't need a coat.
Oh my gosh. Well, there are so many other mediums. There's music, there's film. So Esta, we would love to have you back on future episodes to give us your tops in those other mediums as well.
Oh, of course. I'd be so happy to come back and give you my top three in those mediums. Oh, I'm thinking about it already.
Oh, good.
I love it.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. This has been, I love it, illuminating. I feel like I've learned a bunch about fashion. And so totally fun. We love that you're as obsessed with pop culture as we are.
Yeah.
And then one more time for the listeners, if you want to learn more about fashion and style and beauty, where can they listen to your podcast?
It's called Poised and Polished, the letter N. And you can find it on iTunes, SoundCloud, Acast. I think it's on Stitcher as well. So wherever you find listen to podcasts, you can find me there. You can also just visit poisedandpolished.com, and that's got all the information as far as where to find it, where to find me, links to everything, signing up for the newsletter. Everything's awesome. There.
Awesome. And then and social media too.
Yeah, on social media, I'm at It's Esta Fiesta on everything. So that's Twitter. I hang out on Twitter a lot. I'm on Instagram, Snapchat. If I'm on it, I'm on it as at It's Esta Fiesta.
Love it. Well, thank you so, so much for joining us for this lovely conversation. I'm really going to think hard about what I'm wearing tomorrow now that we've talked.
Yeah.
Amita and I are working together now. We don't say what we're working on, but I want to see a cinched waist tomorrow, Amita.
Yes, cinched waist tomorrow. I'm with it. Send me a picture.
Cinched waist Tuesdays.
All right. Thank you, Esta.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks again to Esta. It was such a fun conversation.
Okay. And now, Amita, do you know what's about to happen? Of course you do, because you have the rundown right in front of you.
I am nervous. That's why I couldn't answer. I'm really nervous.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are entering the final four of our March Madness bracket. To quickly catch you up, last week we began our version of March Madness bracket, which was and continues to be a bracket of Amita's eight favorite celebrity quote-unquote husbands, and those are the men who have the talent and the looks to make Amita think one day that it would be nice to walk down the aisle with one of them. Okay, so there was stiff competition, and I am actually using that phrase as subtle sexual innuendo. I'm sorry. Okay, so it last week it was very dramatic, emotional. I think a huge surprise last week. But last week, quickly, Matt Damon versus Riz Ahmed. Riz Ahmed won that round. Idris Elba competed with Jake Gyllenhaal in an amazing upset, at least in my brain. Jake Gyllenhaal eliminated Idris Elba. Oscar Isaac versus Michael B. Jordan. Michael B. Jordan, I will say, easily won that round.
Yes.
And then finally, Miguel versus Andre Holland. Miguel pulled it out and walked away with it. So, Amita, Riz Ahmed, Jake Gyllenhaal, Michael B. Jordan, and Miguel will be competing in this semifinals round. How are you feeling about your choices?
The final four never looked so good. And I am terrified to narrow this down. This is so hard. I slightly had some regrets about not choosing Matt Damon. I felt like he was haunting my dreams. Like, what's wrong with you? You've loved me for two decades. And I don't know. They're all just so wonderful. So I'd be grateful to have any of them as my future husband. So
they would be lucky to have you as their wife.
Oh, you don't have to say that. But
I mean it. I would be at your house all of the time. Okay.
That's why they're lucky, because then you'd be over every day.
It's a package deal, FYI.
Gotcha. That's for real, for real husbands and for celebrity husbands.
Right. So, Amita, I mean, this is all in good fun, but I do have a question. One thing that I think one can't help but notice, looking at your list, there seems to be a real diversity in terms of ethnic background, basically, like, just in terms of physical looks, which is interesting, because I think there are some people who, like, people have types, right? But I am just curious, you know, about, like, when you develop celebrity crushes, what role does ethnicity play?
When you talk about a celebrity crush, it's about the celebrity of them, right? They're hot, they're famous, they're talented. So, like, I don't know how big the role of diversity plays. It's in there for sure. I do find myself in real life more attracted to more diverse men. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I think that's translating to my celebrity crushes as well. But, like, Matt Damon has, like, been, like, number one for so long, and he's just...
He's anti-diverse.
Like, guy from Boston.
Right. Ain't nothing diverse about that boy.
Yeah. Love you, Matt, but yeah. So I think there's a portion of that that I definitely am much more attracted, I think, to men of color. That's the truth.
And you have good taste.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I'll try.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. I think about other people and other podcasts, and I think, you know, in many cases, it would be a much more homogenous list in one way. And I think it's just really cool that there is a pretty interesting diversity on your list. So just a little thing I noticed that I wanted to ask you about. You know how I like asking you questions about yourself.
I know you do.
Shall we do this?
I want everyone to
take a deep breath.
Okay, final four time, guys.
Now, once again, these men are competing for the heart of Amita Patel.
I mean, let's just stop right there. They have my heart. It's just that one only gets it at this point. Okay? Sorry, because I love you all. Okay.
No qualifying. Only one man gets to put a ring on it. Here we go. Riz Ahmed versus Jake Gyllenhaal. Amita, I feel like we're already starting out tough for you.
Do you do this on purpose?
Yeah.
I know you know me enough to do this on purpose.
I want your answer and I want some rationalization, please.
It's funny that you put these two together because just these last, I don't know, 4 or 5 days, I have had an influx of both of them in different ways, like just reading or listening or seeing them on something. And so they're both top of mind. There was this amazingly adorable, like, junket interview of Jake Gyllenhaal and Ryan Reynolds for the movie Life. And so they were so funny with each other. And I was like, that's why I love Jake. He's so funny. You don't really see it that often. And he's funny and goofy and just adorable. And then Riz Ahmed and Sweatshop Boys, his group, are coming out with some new music. And I just watched a couple videos of his last night. And, you know, his intensity as a rapper, and he's got like that street feel when he does the rapping thing, but then doesn't have that when he's acting. That kind of balance is kind of cool too to me.
Mm-hmm. you sold me. I'm ready to accept either of their proposals, but it's not about me right now. It's about you.
And then there was like that video of Jake Gyllenhaal who was like singing because he's on Broadway right now on Sundays in the Park with George. And nobody really knew his singing skills that much.
He has an amazing voice. I mean, Sondheim, and I don't know a ton about musical theater, but I know that Sondheim is one of the most difficult composers to sing. And the one song video I saw online, he killed it.
Is that the Kari Joji Fukunaga video?
Yes, it is. You sent that to me, didn't you?
I think I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's wonderful. So then there it goes. Like, then that's like when the favorite starts to go that way when I think of that video. Oh my gosh, it's a tough one. I can't believe it. I think if you switched it up with the other two, I think that I would have eventually picked these two and they would have been in the finals. So the fact that you got me to take them out now means the finals are going to be even more interesting. I'm closing my eyes and picking in the air.
I'm going to say that both of them also, wow.
Wait, what were you going to say?
I was going to say both of them also bulk up really well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they both have like normal bodies, but then when the role calls for it, they both pack on muscle quite well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a little criteria, you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, Riz Ahmed has won that round.
Sorry, Jake. Love you. See you soon. Okay, bye.
Get out of here, Jake. All right, next up, I wonder if this is going to be hard. I think it is. Up next, Michael B. Jordan versus Miguel, an actor versus a singer.
Also so difficult because I think my admiration of both of them is just one step lower than my admiration of Riz and Jake. So, mm-hmm. like, they're on the same plane of, like, you guys are great and amazing and hot and talented. Now which one do I want to marry? Is the question.
Right.
And so, you know, I always kind of favor the singer here. And so I feel like Miguel, just because his voice is just like butter, and I think it's going Miguel.
I love that choice. I would have also chosen Miguel. Again, this is about you.
I knew you would.
May I share why?
Yes, sir, please.
I feel like Miguel, because we've spoken about his Instagram account. I initially didn't, believe it or not, I initially didn't really love Miguel because I felt like he just tried too hard to be sexy. Then I woke up and realized, but Sean, he is. But you know what I'm saying? Like, he really tries hard and he succeeds, but I get the effort. But I feel like Miguel, as a lover, he would put a lot of effort into making sure that you would write about him in your journal after it was all done. So I think that kind of constant effort would pay off and make for a long, happy marriage. Okay.
If you could see us both blushing right now.
I need to... Real talk, people. Come on. All right. Here we are. We're going to go straight into the finals. Ooh.
Oh, my gosh.
This is tough. Oh. So, ladies and gentlemen, in the finals, Amita Patel's celebrity husbands, Riz Ahmed, a.k.a. Riz MC, versus Miguel.
Oh, my gosh. This is so hard. Like, I can't quantify my love for both of them, but I have to now. And which one do I foresee having a long, lovely marriage to? I think that's the question, right,
yeah.
Sean?
I think everything you know about them, they're both talented. They're both really good looking. They, so let's, yeah. So I think you want to think, I almost said we. We want to think, Amita, you want to think
about. Well,
because
you'll be hanging out here with them. So
I will
yes,
be over
it's
your house
thing.
All the time. We really do want to think about, you know, who's going to. Long term. This is the long game, the long con.
It's a long game. I know. I feel like I don't think you guys need to hear me wax about my decision. You just want to hear it at this point. I think you heard enough when I debated between Riz and Jake for about 10 minutes. So, Miguel has had my heart for so many years, but gosh, I'm a lucky lady right now trying to pick between these two.
We could kick it American Idol style and reveal your answer next week, but or maybe we should just do it now.
No, it'll be just as hard next week. It is right now in my brain, and I clearly am putting so much thought into something that is pretty trivial, guys. Although the chance of me running into one of these dudes on the streets of New York is quite high, considering my track record of running into people on the streets of New York. And therefore, I don't think I could look either of them or any of these men in the eye if I did not choose them. And then therefore, all of my husband possibilities are gone. Based on last night and how late I stayed up, way too late, I think it's going to be Riz.
Wow. The crowd goes crazy. Riz Ahmed, congratulations.
I don't know what's coming over me with this dude, because he, like you said, he's only really come around in the last year or so.
Yeah, I think he's a good-looking guy, incredibly talented, and he also raps. I mean, he's multi-talented, and yeah, he's great. I'm happy. I'm happy for you too.
Oh, thanks. I think you'd be happier if Miguel was at my house every night, because you'd be here too with your cats.
No, you know what? Yeah, really. I would ask him to cat sit. That might get a little bit too weird. So I'm happy you chose Riz.
And frankly, I factored that into my decision.
Oh my gosh. Amita, how are we going to justify like a 20-minute segment on this?
I'm really not sure.
We'll edit it down. But listen, we're allowed to be silly. I feel like sometimes we put an effort into, you know, dealing with some weighty things. And listen, I think everyone listening in some way can relate to the fact that you just want to have fun sometimes. You just want to be a little bit silly to escape the hardships that life throws at you sometimes.
Yes.
Whether it's work or politics or what have you.
Yeah. Well, this is really fun. Thank you for really invading my dreams. with men for the last week.
It's been my pleasure to host the first annual, the inaugural Celebrity Husband March Madness Bracket.
I cannot wait to see what happens next year. I don't think it needs to be a husband bracket, but we should make a different bracket.
A different pop culture bracket. Oh, actually, I have some ideas. We'll talk about that later.
Oh, my God.
But congratulations to you and your husband, Riz Ahmed. Let's move on, shall we, to the very familiar, very lovable. It's like describing like a homely child. It's familiar and lovable. But we're not describing a homely child. We are describing the Big Sal. Not to be confused with a homely child, the Big Sal is our favorite segment in which we take turns recommending something from the world of pop culture to the other.
Last week, Sean Big sold me the Oscar-winning best documentary short film, The White Helmets, and it's available on Netflix right now. And I have to say, after these lovely conversations that are earlier in this podcast, we're going to take a turn. This was an incredibly moving documentary. I cannot tell you. I welled up with tears in moments, and the work that these men do in Syria to rescue people from buildings that are basically bombed constantly. And as soon as they see a bomb, they run to it and try to rescue people. That is their job. Those are who they are, the White Helmets. And it tells the, you know, the story of their purpose in life. And it's incredibly moving. I highly recommend it to anybody just to watch it. It's 40 minutes. And it's unimaginable that this is happening right now and that this is their life right now. That, you know, gave me just a sense of how much turmoil there is in another country that I don't know that much about. You really get to see it up close. You see that these men are just regular people with families. They're civilians. And then the work that they do is amazing. Amazing. I mean, I think they said they've saved over like 58,000 people since 2013. That's unbelievable.
You and I, and you know, we would, you know, if there's a building that's collapsed, a building that's been bombed, your natural instinct, we run away from it. But these people run towards it. And you know, the title, they wear white helmets and also some protective gear, but it, you know, it's not going to protect you from additional bombings, snipers. Yeah. And it's just amazing that, and these men are, I mean, right, like they're tailors and they're construction workers. They didn't train to do this. They're basically a volunteer force.
Yeah. They're civilians just doing what they can because I wish I wrote down one of the men who said this, but they're just like, you know, every human life, you know, is worth saving. You know, if you save one human, you save humanity. Like that's a baseline. We're just saving lives. And I was so moved by it. I thank you so much for selling this to me.
It's interesting that the backstory and part of it got edited out of last week's podcast, but I have been watching a lot of a certain show for work and needed to do something else to my brain. And so I remember reading that, oh, there are a lot of Oscar winners that are online. And so initially I was going, so I watched Piper, and then I watched, which is the best animated short, and then I watched White Helmets. And I was going to Big Sell You Piper just for something kind of feel good and beautifully crafted, but you had already seen it. So then I was like, oh, well, I've also seen White Helmets. And I guess I hesitated to Big Sell that to you because it's serious, and I didn't want to, in a way, inflict it on you, but because it is inspiring, but you know, you can imagine why I might have taken a pause to Big Sell that to you.
No, and I completely get it, you know, and honestly, it was definitely like, what do I sell you after this?
Right,
you
know, right. Like... You can go, please, like in a completely different direction. But I'm so glad you enjoyed it. And it's also weird to rate it. I don't even know. Maybe should we skip the rating this week? Because it is. It's really such. I mean, it's a 40-minute documentary. It's the length of time it takes you to watch this documentary. You can, you know, skipping commercials, watch Empire or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's so worth your time. But I don't know. Tell me if you feel like you want to rate it, but we can also skip the rating because
my rating was 4 stars because it was unbelievably wonderful. So yes,
okay.
We can skip it, but just so you know, it was getting the best rating.
Okay, no, well, matter let's not what. Skip it then.
Yeah.
I just felt like in a way it was beyond rating, but 4 stars. Yeah, I get is what you're saying. Right on. Okay.
No,
cool.
I completely get what you're saying.
I'm so happy that it's so much easier now than even 5 years ago to see these mm-hmm. Oscar winning and then just kind of worthy short works on streaming services. So
yeah, this was actually a Netflix documentary and it was the first Oscar award for Netflix, which distributed this film. So I like that it's available on these streaming platforms, but I also enjoy the fact that Netflix is doing stuff like this and like 13th and really getting in there with bringing great documentaries to the masses.
Agreed. So obviously a huge recommendation, big sell from both of us. So glad you enjoyed it and so excited to hear what you have to big sell to me today.
Okay, well, I have two things because I'm not sure again if you have come across what I'm first going to sell you. So I have a backup. There was some new music this weekend.
Okay, I've listened to some music this weekend.
One of a inside pop favorite, Kendrick Lamar.
What?
Came out with a new single.
What are you talking about? I would grab you by the shoulders and shake you right now if I could reach into.
Yes.
If I could reach into the Skype and do that, I would. I would shake you.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Wait, Amita, what are you talking about? This is so weird. I listened to, what's the name of the album that came out after How to Pimp a Butterfly? Was it just called Untitled?
Untitled and Unmastered? Or
I listened to that yesterday. I didn't know he had new music.
Yeah. Yeah, right,
I'm gonna calm down.
He did.
I'm going to calm down and let you speak.
No. Keep being shocked. I enjoy that I get things on you sometimes.
What? Know this, that I am actually shaking you by the shoulders in joy right now. Please keep talking.
So, I think it was, it's been just all over the place that Kendrick released a new song, and that means that I think, and then there was some stuff online going around that the track listing was leaked, you know, with some guest appearances that sound really exciting, but nobody can verify it, obviously, but it's making everybody super excited for another Kendrick album, and it's supposedly going to come out very soon, so stay tuned, because y'all know we're going to talk about it, but the first single is called The Heart Part 4. And that is my big sell to you. That was the easiest big sell I ever had to do because I was nervous. I was like, he probably heard about it. This is why I now try to make it a habit to get into my Spotify and go to New Music Friday because it was the first thing in my New Music Friday. And I was like, wait, what's this?
That's so funny because I've been, slight tangent, the Gorillaz released 4 songs, and I've just been listening to those over and over and over again. And I have JojCast to thank because I interviewed them about Gorillaz for Perfect Podcast, and I've been so obsessed with them since that interview. So, so that's the new music I've been listening to this week. So
I have two actually. I'm obsessed with them after hearing your interview on Perfect Podcast with them. And that also showed up as like a This Is Gorillaz playlist on Spotify. So I was like, oh, I want to listen to this. And then I like did some digging and I was like, oh, this is new music. Oh, okay. And I just knew that you knew about that because they were already on your radar. So I was like, I'm not going to try to big sell him something new from the Gorillaz.
That's right. Because, we could get into the whole thing about us seeing each other nonstop, but we don't get to talk about pop. All right, I am going to take a moment in this big sell segment to just lay some facts out. Amita and I see each other easily now 10 hours a day because we're working together on the same television project.
Yes.
That shall never be named. And because she told one of the owners of the production company that we have a podcast. Now I really feel like I need to watch what I say. But anyway, we don't really talk about, we don't share our work.
No, we don't really.
On this podcast. So we see each other 10 hours a day easily. We sit 3 feet from each other. Imagine the pain of being that close to your podcast co-host and friend and being all business. No, we don't get to talk about Kendrick Lamar. I don't get to talk about how we're exactly 1.5 months away from the Sense8 premiere. Like, all of that stuff that is important and we should be discussing, we're not able to do it.
It's so hard, yo. Like, this, we're just, it's a really, really hectic schedule around right now. And it's so, so hard. I think you did. You did at one point where you were just like, hey, there was a Master of None, like, trailer that came out. I was like, oh my God. And then I felt like, I can't watch it right now. I got too much to do. But thank you for telling me I got to go by.
Oh, yeah. Literally, we don't talk, like, in any friendly way. That's not true. But we don't talk about pop culture. I needed 30 seconds of pop culture talk. And I was just like, I listened to the Tone podcast. They gave us a shout out, which made me feel good. And they mentioned a Master of None teaser trailer, which,
yes,
how do we not know about this? So thank you, Tone podcast.
Yes, thank you, Tone Podcast. Thank you for listening to Tone Podcast and telling me about it at work.
I want to ask Tone Podcast, because they also work together, and I want to know what their work relationship's like, if they talk about pop culture or if they compartmentalize.
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on how they work together. You know what I mean? Like, we work together.
Together.
Like, there is just a lot of conversation, collaboration, discussion, and tandem work things happening between the two of us all day. So, yeah. If we were just in the same office, I think it'd be fine. But whoever would be working with us would be mad because one of us would be coming to the other's desk all the time talking about pop culture.
Right. Okay. Thank you for indulging that tangent, people. But just so... So, but the meaning of all this is to say that the Big Sell is now more important than ever because we really don't get to talk about stuff we want to talk about. So the Big Sell is an opportunity. So thank you for this Kendrick Lamar Big Sell.
Yay. Yeah.
Do you like?
You're dying to just stop right now and go listen to it.
I know. I want to start interviewing you about the Kendrick Lamar singer.
No.
How do you like it? How does it make you feel
as a woman,
as an American? Okay. No, you're not going to answer any of those questions.
No, because I don't want to influence your experience of it at all. That is the point of the Big Sell.
Copy that.
Such purists. All right.
Okay. Well, that does it for this interesting episode of Inside Pop.
We have gone to so many different levels on this episode, guys. It's been wonderful. I'm an emotional wreck in some ways, but it's great.
Thank you for listening to this episode. And if you're a longtime listener, thanks so much. Please reach out. We love hearing from listeners, whether you've just discovered us or whether you've been listening for a while. You know, feel free to send us a tweet or leave us a review on iTunes. We'll give you a shout out on the show, and it'll make us feel good because we know that lots of people are listening. So it would be really nice to be able to put some names behind those download numbers.
Yeah, just shoot us a tweet at Pop Insiders. And as always, we will continue to bring you more of the pop culture that we care about and you want to know about.
Including, one of us is down with zombies and the other one isn't, but we'll indulge the one who is because the season finale of The Walking Dead is upon us. And we'll share immediate reactions to that. What will hopefully be an amazing episode. The second half of the season has done a great job of redeeming, I think, a lot of mistakes and falters that were made. Is that correct? Falters that were made? But mistakes that were made in the first half of the season. So I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. I'm trying to be positive about everything, Anita, including The Walking Dead season finale.
I love the optimism. I know that you've been slightly trepidatious about this season, so I am actually very curious to hear what your thoughts are on the finale.
So am I. I'm curious of my thoughts as well. So interested in my own thoughts. Let's see what happens.
Great. All right, guys. We'll have a great week. Riz Ahmed is my husband. So how does this work moving forward? Because I always used to just refer to a bunch of them as my husbands. Do I now not, I'm not able to refer to any of them as husbands?
Amita, I think we have to have continuity in our episodes.
Riz now. That's what I'm saying.
Only Riz, yeah.
All right, well, then we're just going to have to talk about my husband every week now, y'all.